Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is the breakfast huddle. It's that time of the week we've all been waiting for. Welcome to FMB Friday.
Yes. The Tinkat or Tiffin Carrier service was invented once upon a time for working mothers unable to rush home in time to cook for their families and in normal circumstances for Elliot to pick up some lovely dishes from his mom.
I know you mentioned this off air earlier. You like the Peranakan designs.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, I like something plain but pastel colours. So conventional yet not quite.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Yeah,
that sounds really retro.
Yeah. That's the word. You know, we are kind of seeing a bit of a revival because households are forced to dine at home during Singapore's circuit breaker period.
Yeah, and to make ends meet, some food caterers in Singapore have made the decision to go back in time and offer Tinkat services.
Lovely. Most have been doing so as a way to cope with the decline in events and maybe have also seen decent responses from consumers. But how much can Tinkat services really help caterers with their revenue?
And with this new additional service, what are the challenges that come with it for food caterers?
Online with us is Ravi Yellen, who is the head of catering at the Catering Concerto by TCC. Ravi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, excellent.
You sound bright and chirpy this morning. Let's talk about the Catering Concerto. This is a division of TCC Group, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's part of TCC. We actually started with offering casual Western style of dishes starting from 2012. And along the way, we included quite a number of other cuisines as well, like Chinese and Peranakan.
Okay, very nice. And you decided to branch out into catering. Where's your central kitchen?
Central kitchen, we have two kitchens, basically. We start off in Irving Road, and then now the catering part of it is moved to Bedok.
Okay. In terms of headcount, what are we talking about here?
We've got 12 persons.
Right. So 12 persons, and right now we have COVID-19 clearly impacting a lot of the F&B sector. So if you could give us a sense of before the pandemic started, what were your catering bookings at, say, on the average of a week or a month? And where are you at now?
Before the pandemic, basically our events, we had about 5 to 10 events a week. That includes weddings, corporate caterings and such, and birthday celebration over the weekends. Naturally, after the pandemic, there's no such events anymore. Mm. So we had to think of other things, what to do, how to keep our staff engaged at all times.
Yeah, very much, very much. So I'm wondering, you know, you've been in the catering business a long time. You've worked as head of catering and events for major hotels in Singapore. Obviously, what we're seeing in terms of the impact of COVID-19 on hospitality and F&B as compared to other crises has often been in focus. What would you say about it? And we'll get into how you've innovated in just a tick. But what's your view on this crisis and how bad it is?
It's quite unprecedented, basically. During the other crises, you know, we always had something in our back pocket such that we always plan for what happens in a particular segment, the economy that affects the economy in general. Then we know that government will spend more for government projects, government events will be more, public events will happen more. And we avoid certain segments, basically. If the construction is down, okay, great, we'll leave construction alone, we'll go to other places, other business areas. However, this one, it just stopped our very existence of doing an event. Mm. So it is unprecedented for us.
I'm actually curious, and I want to kind of try to look ahead to the post-COVID situation. But first of all, how did you guys handle cancellation of events, you know, the moment these circuit breaker measures were announced? And right now, are people sort of trying to inquire, say, maybe at the end of the year to have any events? Or is everyone just staying away from even inquiring about catering?
When it started, when the pandemic started in early January, February, we were still getting inquiries, you know, third quarter of the year, fourth quarter of the year, and people were inquiring, okay, so what happens if I need to cancel, if my event can't go on? We were still, okay, great, you know, you can postpone that for a couple of months, 2 months down the road or something, or 3 months down the road in July, August. However, when it happened suddenly in March, when we realized the gravity of the situation and everybody started to not think about completely cancelling the event, that's when we realized it wasn't postponement anymore. So some of the events, like corporate events, need to be cancelled right off the bat. So, because some of these customers are regular customers, so we told them, okay, great, you have to cancel. We have not really prepared food or make plans yet because the event is in another 2 or 3 months away. So we allowed them to cancel and hoping that, you know, they would come back. However, there were wedding bookings that are postponed, obviously. Mm. So that we allowed them to postpone because we knew that they would, end of the day, if everything back to normal, normal in the sense that, you know, events are allowed to go through, then they would still need a caterer to cater to their events.
Yeah. Unless they drove each other crazy while they were working from home, then maybe no wedding.
No comment there.
Very wise. Not to rise to that one. So let's talk about innovation then. One of the things we've been saying since the beginning of the show today has been, okay, 2020 has been a challenging year, but what it has forced a lot of us to do is to do things differently because what we were doing just won't work in the new scenario. Now, one of the things that you guys are doing is getting back to the roots, tin cut services. So is this something you were doing anyway? Did this just come out of responding to the pandemic?
No, we never even thought of doing tin cut at all. When we were, actually it happened like in February, early March, we were approached to say, would y'all consider doing tin cut because there's a big take up. And this came from one of our partners, which is Foodline. So we said, like, no, I don't think so. We're not really, you know, fit out to do tin cuts. We'll look at family dinners and something like that, a bento box and so forth. But after doing 2 weeks, we were doing the family dinners, bentos, we realized that the take-up was not as great as we expected. And we also looking at social media, and we realized that a lot of people are inquiring about tin cuts and showing interest in it. And that's how we said, okay, let's give it a go. Let's try tin cut, you know. Why not anything that we could keep ourselves occupied, our staff engaged? At the same time, we try to make as much as possible in terms of the revenue shortfall. And that's how we stumbled upon Tinker, actually.
But on the revenue shortfall front, I mean, it's very different from catering for an event. Where is the percentage at in terms of making up for revenue?
It makes about 10% of our revenue for events. Yeah, that's the disparity. There.
That's the reality of it, yeah.
That's the reality of it. Yeah. And that's the reality of it, that we have to live with it and we try to do the best of it.
Elliot's asking the really important sort of money-related questions, and all I can keep thinking about is, did you have to go and buy lots of tin cut? You know, the little tins. Like, how do you lay your hands in challenging times like this on the equipment that you need to deliver?
When you mentioned the word equipment, actually the first thing that came to our mind when we were thinking about tin cut was, we have to go and get all these tin cuts. You know, you were talking about product and beautiful designs and all that. That kind of thing. And that's exactly what I thought also. Oh my God, where are we going to get all these tin cuts now? And then, actually, they told us, well, actually, it only appears in the photos, but when customers receive the food, it's actually in the disposable boxes, actually.
Okay. So you guys are using disposable boxes then?
Yes, we are. We're just using disposable boxes. As almost all, I think so. I've not seen all the rest of the caterers who are the thing that providers do. But that's what was advised to us. Actually, you know, you don't provide the concepts called thin cut. But actually, when you deliver your food, you deliver it disposable.
I get that. But I see. So the idea is that you're giving someone a pre-prepared meal all in one go. It's not like the customer has to sit and, okay, I'll have this main course with a side of this, that, or the other.
Or we'll go crazy.
But do you encourage your customers to bring their own thin cuts? I mean, at the end of the day, there is always the trying to help with climate change or to stop climate change. Do you encourage customers to do that?
We tried. Okay. At the beginning, we tried. We looked at it, we tried. But the operation side of it got a little bit complicated because the delivery is on daily basis.
Right. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got like 5 days, 10 days, or 20 days. So that gets a little bit complicated. And also the hygiene part of it, how well it gets washed and, you know, prepared for the next meal.
Yeah, this is very. These are the added issues that, you know, this is how we get insight on the F&B industry and the kind of things you guys have to think about. All right, so one of the things that we have to think about as consumers is menus. So what was it like? Did you have to revamp menus to come up with something that would work with this concept?
Yes, we had to look at the sample menus from other caterers. That's the first thing we did. Okay, really, we sort of know, we got an idea of what happens during Tingkat, how Tingkat menus work, but we had to look at the samples out there. And then we had to look at our chefs and say, okay, what do we really do best? So we have Chinese, Western, and a Peranakan chef in our kitchen. So we, based on our experience of catering to functions, what the general perception, what the general popular dishes are, so those were used to do up a 30-day menu, basically.
Right. Yeah, well, you got me at Peranakan Chef. So if, let's say, I still got, what, 2 more weeks of circuit breaker. If, let's say, I want to sign up, what are my obligations and what do I need to do?
Go to Foodline. That's where we have featured all our, we're working exclusively with them. So our menus are there. Have a look at the menu. They are set menus. However, you can point out to us that, you know, you don't take spicy, for instance. As we discovered when we started to cater, people don't take spicy. There are various dietary requirements. And we realized our menus are all set menus. That means on that particular day, I only cook like these 5 dishes. And I don't cook many other things to make it efficient and profitable and, you know, for everybody. So early on, we realized that, you know, non-spicy, spicy. So what we have done is actually we completely change the dish for the customer because that makes it easier because our reaction time is very short because the next day we have to cater to them again. So customers will come back to us and say, oh, well, I don't take seafood, so we completely change the dishes. That makes us our kitchen to produce that better, faster, more efficient. And I think it takes care of the customer's challenge there.
So sad, no, people don't take spicy food.
I do. Everybody around this table, I think, does. I just want to get into then how you think things have been changed forever in the catering industry by the onset of this pandemic. What would be your view?
I'm not sure, but 6 to 8 months, maybe you would go to events where you get your temperature taken and you find a lot of hand sanitizers and so forth. And the safe entry, that means, you know, you get registered at every point when you go into an event. Because we are in this event industry where event happens when you have live group of people, so it will have to happen somehow in the, you know, next 6 months or so. So I'm sure temperature is one thing, hand sanitizer is one thing, the safe entry where you register, you've been to this particular event is one thing. I think these 3 things will definitely happen for sure for the next foreseeable future, I think so.
But for catering, can I just jump in there and ask, for catering then, do you see things recovering at all? And if you do, by sort of what percentage do you see them recovering?
I only can say that based on what I've seen in past previous pandemics or, you know, SARS or financial crisis, it does, after 6 to 8 months, it does get back to normal. It does get back to normal because just being human beings, just being events, just being economy, it all has to still come back to functioning the way, to a certain degree, with some precautions, added precautions.
Ravi, then, is it possible we have seen the death of the buffet line? I mean, you still have catering, but, you know, no more sharing buffet plates and whatnot. I get a thin cut from you.
Yes and no, because buffets does serve a particular style that suits an event, for instance. So, you know, as much as customers would avoid having buffets, but at a certain time there is a need for a buffet because of the way the actual event actually takes place, and it sort of fits in very nicely for that event.
Sure. I guess time will tell to see how the catering business recovers. We've been speaking with Ravi Yellen, who is the head of catering at the Catering Concerto by TCC. Ravi, thank you so much for taking your time today. And of course, take care and stay safe.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.